you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and to doeth it not, to him it is sin. Heavenly Father, thank you for being a God who is 100% in control of tomorrow. Lord, may we be reminded of that tonight. Go home with a peace in our hearts about that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Good instruction for us tonight concerning the boasting. The Bible uses the word the boasting of what we're going to do in the future. One of the great habits of life, and I think it's a good habit to get into. You know, I talked on the phone several times this week to somebody about some event that's coming up. And I'd always say when I hung up, well, Lord willing, I'll see you then. Or Lord willing, I'll see you then. Or Lord willing, I'll be there. Lord willing, we'll meet you there. And folks, you know what? That's just a good habit to get into. And whether you say the words, you ought to have that belief in your heart, understanding in your heart that, you know what? We don't know what's going to be on tomorrow. I don't think the Bible here is condemning us making future plans. I don't think that that's boastful to plan for tomorrow. Matter of fact, this morning early when I came to the church, one of the first things I do just most every morning is not only do I go through my calendar and my to-do list and make sure that I'm reminded of everything I need to do on that day, but I reviewed tomorrow, Monday, and just about, and it's going to start very early in the morning, and it's going to go very late tomorrow night, but about just about every single hour of the day, I've got something planned and something going on and plans to be at a certain place doing a certain thing. And then I look ahead on Tuesday and I did the same thing. I like to stay at least 2 days in advance. That way, if there's something on Tuesday that I promised to do or need to do and I haven't gotten ready for it, I'm reminded. I need to get ready for that. I need to be reminded of that. There's no sin in that. I don't think it's boastful. Matter of fact, that we could go to the portions of Scripture that encourage us. Listen, I think you ought to live on purpose. I think you ought to have a plan. I don't understand a generation that you ask, what are you going to do this week? I don't know. What are you going to do now? I don't know. Well, what plans? I don't know. I mean, come on. Live on purpose. Get a plan. Amen. But at the same time, what the Bible is, I think, cautioning us about in this portion of Scripture is to do so in a spirit of forgetfulness. Because, folks, listen, I've got these plans for tomorrow. But the honest truth is, all of those plans could be turned upside down and in a heartbeat. For one thing, you know what? The rapture might happen tonight. Amen. Then Brother Reiser could stay and he could finish my to-do list and take care of it for me. Him or Brother Young, Brother Gordon, that's why I have assistant pastors, in case the rapture happens. Somebody's got to carry the work forward. And that'd be all right. That'd be all right just to look down from heaven and see all the stuff that I was going to do and say, I don't have to worry about that anymore. Amen. And folks, another reason I may not have to worry about tomorrow, I may not see tomorrow. And you say, preacher, that's depressing. Well, why did you get excited about the rapture? Now you're not excited about death. I mean, you end up in the same place either way if you're a Christian. And so, you know, honestly, this may be my last day. I mean, I believe this. I believe God wound the clock of my life when he allowed me to be born. And I think it's in his hands. And there's a certain number of breaths and a certain number of days and a certain number of heartbeats. And you know what? When God says that's done, it's done. And by the way, whenever he says it's done, it's good and it's right and it's perfect, because you're not going to improve on God's plan on anything, you know. And you know what? If I ended up not making it to tomorrow, I'm going to tell you what, that wouldn't be such a bad deal. I'm just telling you, that wouldn't be such a bad deal. And just think of the splendors. I'd holler down from heaven, whether you can hear me or not. I'd laugh at you every day you're still down here. I'd say, you don't know what you're missing, and carry on. And you know what? It'd be a wonderful thing. I mean that. It'd be a wonderful thing. Now, the rapture might not happen, and I may wake up just fine tomorrow. And still, everything that I've got planned, you know what? One phone call. You've had those days. You've had those days. You thought you were going to do everything you were going to do the next day, and one phone call. One thing happened, just absolutely, not only turned maybe that day upside down, but maybe for the next several days, several weeks, your life just changed an entirely different direction. I also want to say this, you know what? There isn't anything that I've written down to do tomorrow that I hope I would be so insistent to do that I would ignore the leading of the Holy Spirit of God. Because, you know, if I get up tomorrow morning and I go through and I pray over what I was going to do and the Lord through that prayer time said, listen, I've got a different plan for you. And you know, you were going to do this from 2 to 4, but I want you to do this instead. And you know what? I always want to be spirit led. I want the Lord to be able to change my plans. I believe in being organized, but I don't want to organize God out of my life. And I want to stay tender to the leading of the Holy Spirit of God. But so folks, I don't know about tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen for sure, but I know this. I don't have to fear it. I don't have to fear it. And there's some reasons that we don't have to fear tomorrow. Let me give them to you tonight, hopefully be an encouragement to you. Number one, I know the God who knows tomorrow. Say, preacher, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Yeah, but I know the God who knows what's going to happen tomorrow. That's a pretty good deal. Bible says here, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. We don't know. I don't know. And you know what? Nobody else knows. But you know what? I know the God of tomorrow. And let me ask you that real quick. Do you know the God of tomorrow? Do you know him? Do you know him? You know, I'm going to ask it a little bit different in just a minute, but I got to tell a story first. You know, I said that from the pulpit, I don't know how many times. Do you know the Lord? Do you know the Lord? Do you know the Lord? But you see, I was going visiting this week, and we spent a lot of hours down in Princeton knocking doors. And you know what's kind of neat about that is you go to these different neighborhoods, and I've spent a lot of time in some really nice neighborhoods doing some door knocking and inviting and talking to people. And I appreciate somebody that takes some pride in their place. I mean that. I don't think it's a bad thing. I really don't. You can tell. I like it when you can tell they put some time into a flower garden, and they've done some, and everybody's kind of decorated everything. I mean, that's what you do nowadays. You know, you decorate everything, and then they hang signs, and they're little cute sayings. And I could tell you all of them right now because I've been to so many doors. If there's a cute saying out there, I've read it on somebody's door in their garden, on a rock, on a plaque. I mean, everybody's decorating everything. Probably the coolest sign I saw this week, where it was, believe it or not, a no soliciting sign. And those things, like, they're getting to be more and more popular. Here's what it said: no solicitation. We are too broke to buy anything. We know who we are voting for. We have found Jesus. So unless you're selling Girl Scout cookies, go away. That is the coolest sign. I got to get one of those, you know. Say, what'd you do? I hung the thing and kept going. I mean, I'm not soliciting, you know. We have found Jesus. I like that. But I do want to mention one sign that I read, and you know, it really, God used it to touch my heart. You know the song, we sing it most Sunday mornings, Jesus loves me, this I know. Well, somebody had changed that around a little bit and put a sign near their door that says this. Instead of saying, Jesus loves me, this I know, it said, Jesus knows me, this I love. How about that? Jesus knows me, this I love. And you know what? I saw that, and the rest of the day, I just kind of pondered that as I was, Jesus knows me. You know, I always ask, do you know the Lord? Maybe this is a more important question. Does he know you? Does he know you? You know what? Those people that stood before the Lord in the parable that Jesus explained to us, all claim to know the Lord. But he said, I know you not. Depart from me. I know you not. I think there's a lot of people that know about the Lord. I think there's a lot of people that talk about the Lord. I'm not sure all those people the Lord knows. So maybe instead of me asking the question tonight, do you know him, should I ask this, does he know you? Are you one of his children? You know what? I became one of his children at the Rock Run Baptist Church in Brazil, Indiana, back in 1966. Think about that. That's been a couple years ago. And you know what? Think about this. 1966, I got saved. What year is it this year? 2016. Who can do the math? That's a lot. I mean, that's almost as many years as it is miles between here and Branson. I mean, it's more. Can I say this? For now on 950 years, not only do I know Jesus, but he knows me. Woo! You know what? And I know God the Father. And you know what? From the day that I got saved, I had a God in my life, a Savior, who was in full control of every tomorrow. And there's been a lot of them in that amount of time. There's been a lot. But you know what? He hadn't fumbled the ball yet. And you know what? He's been with me all the way. And he knows, listen, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow in my life. And you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow in your life. But we have a God that knows. And if you know the Lord and he knows what's going to happen, listen, aren't you excited? The Bible says this. It says that he inhabits eternity. See, I not only know the God who knows tomorrow, number two, I know God will walk beside me through tomorrow. If I'm going somewhere that I've never been before, I'd like to go with somebody that's been there. I talked about that when I came back and talked about going out elk hunting, and we wanted to go out west elk hunting. And you know, one of the things I told Brother Castle is, you know what, I'm not going to go out there unless I can find somebody that's been there before and done it before and knows what they're doing. I want to go with somebody that's been there. Can I tell you this, folks? God has been there. Matter of fact, he is there. I love this. I love the Bible in Isaiah chapter 57. I was doing my morning devotions one day, and this verse has got a hold of me, and it's never let go. In Isaiah 57:15, it says, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, and that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." And when the Bible's describing God here, they say he's high. We talked about that, didn't we, Wednesday night? He's high and lifted up. He's the lofty one. But it also says this, that he inhabits eternity. And I've tried to explain that as best I can many times, but God is not a time traveler, young people. You know, that we always kind of have dreamed about that. Maybe you have thought about how cool it would be. Sometimes I'll say from the pulpit, well, if we can get in the time machine and go back or go forward. Well, you know what? God's not a time traveler. He's a time indweller. You know what? God's already there. He inhabits eternity. So in every day of the past, every moment of the past, every second of the past, for as far as eternity stretches, God's there. For every moment in the future, God's there. I said he's there. I'm not saying he's going to be there. He's already there. You say, well, I thought he was here. Yes, you're right. But you said he was there in yesterday. Yes. But what about tomorrow? He's there. You say, preacher, I don't understand that. Aren't you glad you have a God that you can't understand? Amen. You know, if we could understand God, he wouldn't be much of a God. You think about that? But God's not just there. He lives there. He exists there. He inhabits eternity. And so, folks, listen, he not only knows about tomorrow, he's already there waiting for me. And as every moment of of the day unfolds tomorrow, you know what? I don't have to wonder if God's fallen behind. He's right there ahead of me. We went years ago, took a good sized group of our church members down to Monterrey, Mexico. When I was planning that trip, I got a hold of a man by the name of Doug Calap. And Brother Calap is very experienced in missions trips. And one of the things I told my wife, one of the things I told our church was, you know what? If we're going to take a large group to Mexico on a missions trip, you know what? I want to go with somebody who's experienced. I want to go with somebody that's already been there. What are you saying, preacher? Listen, I know the God who knows tomorrow, and I also know that God will be there to walk me through every moment of tomorrow. Boy, there's some peace in that. So you need not fear tomorrow. Number three, I know God's promises will still be true tomorrow. There's a lot of things that can change in 24 hours. But you know what never changes? This book right here. I'm so glad that Pastor Elmer Evans, Rock Run Baptist Church, when I was a little boy, opened a King James Holy Bible and laid it on the pulpit and preached salvation out of it. And you know what, folks? Let me just help you with this. I don't know who you are, where you're at on this. But can I say this? If you've got anything but a King James Bible, you know what you need to do? You just need to get rid of it and get you a King James Bible. You know what? I'm glad to say that I'm still reading the same Bible that somebody handed me the first time I went to church. I've never had any interest in being a member of the Bible of the Book Club or the Month Club. I'm not interested in the new whatever that comes out. You know what? Let me ask you this. How many times has your Bible changed in your lifetime? Mine hadn't changed at all. What do you think about that? I just like the old King James Bible. I believe it's the preserved very words of Almighty God. I think the same God that gave the words took custodial care. He made a promise in Psalms chapter number 12 that he'd take personal custodial care of those words and that he would preserve them to every generation. And I think we got them right here. For English speaking, the English speaking word in the words of the King James Holy Bible. Now, folks, listen to me. This book doesn't change. Now, throughout my life, circumstances sometimes have drastically changed in a day's time. But you know what's so neat about that? I can still go back to the Bible and all of the promises are still there. My circumstances didn't change any of the promises of God. You know, I love 2 Peter 1:4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. How about that? That by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. I'm glad we have prayer promises. How about this? Jeremiah 33:3. You know what? I found it as a young boy, and I can still go back to it in my latter years, and here it is. Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it, the Lord is his name, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. How about that? Jeremiah 33:2-3. Folks, that's not going to change between now and tomorrow. Your circumstances must change. Maybe the urgency for you to need to get to God in prayer might change. But you know what? Jeremiah 33:3 is not going to change. It hasn't changed in my lifetime. It's not going to change tomorrow. Hey, Matthew 11 still there. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I don't know what's going to come upon my shoulders tomorrow. I may, by the end of the day, be laboring. I may be heavy laden, but I know this, the invitation's still there. Come unto me. Come unto me. How about Isaiah chapter 40? You know what? I don't know what I'm going to have to face, but how about this? How about these promises? He giveth power to the faint. To them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And you know what? I've still got that promise. That promise was there when I was a little boy. That promise was there during my teenage years. That promise was there during my Bible college days when I oftentimes would read that verse and pray over it and sometimes say, Lord, I don't know if I can get through tomorrow. I've only got 3 or 4 hours, Lord, to rest and sleep, and I've got another busy day ahead. But God, you've made me a promise here. So I ask, dear God, that you'd bless in a supernatural way these few hours of rest and strengthen my body and help me to be able to get up and do it again. And you know what? That promise hasn't altered from my college days. How about Romans 8? How about this? Devil want to tell you that God doesn't love you? I've got a promise about that. I got something to throw back at him. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So the devil gets me down to side, tries to get me convinced that God's not good and God doesn't love me. And I can just open up to that promise and just shake it in his face and say, read this. Read this. God still loves me, you liar. God still loves me. Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. Here's the promise. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Are you a child of God? Those promises are for you. Those aren't preacher promises. Lord, they're just as powerful for people in the pew as they are people in the pulpit. That's for all of God's children. You know what? I'm not going to have to face 1 second of any of my tomorrows with God having forsaken me. He's going to go with me all the way. Let me give you the last thing. Number 4, I know God's heaven will be one day closer tomorrow. One day closer tomorrow. What in the world's going on with this calendar? We just turn it and we're turning it again. I don't know. I mean this. In recent years, I think life always goes fast. But in recent years, I don't know of a year that seems like it's gone faster than 2016. And I don't know. All I know is this. Every single day, every single day, every single time I go to bed and God gives me rest for a new day, I wake up one more day closer to heaven than I went to sleep. Think about that. Didn't Jesus give us this promise? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. I mentioned in the introduction, but I think God wound the clock of my life, and I think, well, I'm glad he's in control of those things. Preacher, do you worry about it? I mean this. I mean it with all my heart. I don't spend any time worrying about it. I'm not saying that I'm worry-free. I'm not saying that there's things that I worry about that I shouldn't. But, you know, I've just kind of learned to just say, Lord, I'm just going to trust you. And, Lord, whatever timetable you have for my life, however long that you're going to let me be on this planet, I want to spend every day as much as I can serving you. And Lord, I don't want to disappoint you. I don't want to shame your name. I want to keep the right kind of testimony. And you may think I was speaking with some bravado, but you know, you young people, I don't expect you to understand it, and I wouldn't have understood it either. But you know what? The older you get, the sweeter heaven becomes. And to be honest with you, the more that you watch this world switch and change from everything that it was when you were a boy, you just get lonely for home. And you know what? I don't have a death wish. I mean that. And I pray the Lord allows me to live a lot longer just to stick around and aggravate some of you. I mean that. But I'm going to tell you, my times are in his hands, and your times is in his hands. Isn't that a sweet thing? You know what? I don't know about tomorrow. I don't know. I don't know all that's going to bring. But I do know this. If the Lord lets me wake up tomorrow, I'm one day closer to heaven than I was when I went to bed tonight. And folks, that sounds pretty good to me. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, 28. And as it is appointed unto man once to die, men once to die, and after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. What a day that will be, Brother Tom. Thank you for singing it. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. Brother Bud, you tell your wife, don't worry about tomorrow. Okay? You young people, it's concerned about, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Some of you, dear senior saint, preacher, you know what? It just seems like sometimes week by week, it seems like in areas I'm diminishing, you stop worrying about it. God has not forsaken you, and he's not about to start forsaking you. And he's going to be with you every single step of the way. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for these good reminders, Lord, to us tonight. These good reminders of your complete control over our lives, and dear God, especially in this matter of tomorrow. And I pray, Lord, that you'll help us, guide us. Lord, guide us each step of the way. Direct us, Lord, into your will. Help us not to waste it. Lord, if we get tomorrow, it certainly is an awfully sweet gift. Lord, help us to use it to the best of our ability. We preached this morning on the importance of good works. Lord, I pray if we're all given tomorrow that maybe we could just spend a little time being a blessing to somebody, following through with what the Lord did in our hearts this morning. But Lord, we're going to trust you. We're going to trust you. No matter what comes, we're going to trust you. And I pray, Lord, that you'll take care of us. May we not be presumptuous. Lord, may we not make plans without considering your will. May we not become braggadocious in this matter of boasting about what we will or won't do with our lives. May we understand that all things are according to the will of God. And I pray that you'll help us lift up that one that's discouraged. May they remember the promises of the Bible. And Lord, thank you for being there waiting for us tomorrow. We pray these things in Jesus' name.